thank you for engaging the questions and the conversation. I like both of these questions, but the second one in particular, the question of what we can do in the next 6 weeks to really get ready for the mystery of Easter, seems like an important question. And it's one that I want to continue to explore together for a few minutes this morning. Our church calendar that they use in the godly playrooms tell us that there's a special time coming. Lent is a purple special time. And special times are different from normal everyday times. And because they are, we probably would do things a little bit differently. I mean, think about other special times in your life, like vacation days, right? Vacation days are special time. And probably you don't act in exactly the same way on a vacation day as you do on a normal work or school day. Maybe you sleep more on a vacation day. Maybe you play harder on a vacation day. Perhaps you eat especially yummy food on a vacation day. All of these things tell us that it's a special time. So what are the things that we do? How do we change the rhythm of our lives during the special time of Lent to get ready for the mystery of Easter? Interestingly, directions for how to spend our time in Lent are not found in the Bible. The Bible doesn't talk about the season of Lent. The season of Lent comes to us through the tradition of God's people over time. And this is not a short-lived tradition. This is a tradition with a long history. Does anyone want to guess what year the people of God started to practice the season of Lent? The year 325. Can you even imagine back that far? The season of Lent is a long-standing season in the life of God's people because the people of God for centuries and centuries have experienced it as an important season to remember, to rehearse how deep our need is for God. Lent is a time for remembering that our heart's deepest need is for what only God can bring us. So I'll be honest, the special activities of Lent may not at first appear quite as fun as the special activities of a vacation day, because we are focusing on our need for God, which can make us a little bit uncomfortable. And the people of God typically do three things in Lent to help us experience a little more viscerally, a little closer to the surface, how deep is our longing for God. The people of God fast, which means that we do without something that in normal time we would just enjoy. The people of God give to others. And the people of God focus on prayer in a fresh way to support our activity of fasting and giving. A lot of people, whether they identify themselves as Christian or not, have the awareness that Lent and fasting go together, but far fewer, I think, understand why these two fit together. And there's a lot that we could say if we had time about biblical fasting, but maybe for today, we could just focus on the fact that fundamentally, fasting is a practice that invites us to take away things from our lives that keep us padded against or insulated from some of that experience of our deeper need for God. So human beings throughout the ages have employed all kinds of strategies to deal with that restlessness that exists deep within us, that longing that ultimately can only be satisfied in God. When we're hungry, we eat. When we're lonely, we now text. When we're bored, we busy ourselves with hobbies. And all of these things are are good things in life. They're things that we need. They're things that can serve us. But they also help us to manage that deeper longing that lives deep inside of us. So in Lent, followers of Jesus choose to do without some of these normal things that aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves, in order that we could feel some of the discomfort inside us that draws us more deeply into our need for God and God's presence and love in our lives. So the next question would be, how do I know what fast to choose? Maybe you've heard a lot of people give up chocolate for Lent. So giving up chocolate for Lent could be a fine thing to choose. But I'd want to give you a challenge to think about a fast this Lent that really matches your personal practice. Maybe you are a person who goes to chocolate for soothing, for a little treat to make the day slightly more bearable. But you know if that's not the case for you. And each of us may have different strategies, different things that we include in our lives that help to make the day a little bit more bearable. Right? People fast sometimes from meat. People fast from alcohol or sugary drinks. People fast from things that aren't food also, because we use plenty of non-food items to kind of buoy ourselves, prop ourselves up. Maybe we do that through our activity on social media, or we do that through shopping, or maybe through a practice of bragging. Or maybe, where are my students in the house? Some boba? No shade to the boba lovers. But we all use things to help us feel a little bit more okay. And in Lent, the invitation, practiced through centuries of God's faithful people, is to recognize what we may have given an outsized place. It's taken up just a little too much importance for our sense of well-being. We put that aside and we invite the Spirit of God to make us awake to our need for God. I'm going to be honest that, in my experience at least, fasting is not one of the spiritual practices that make me feel great. It doesn't necessarily make me feel like I'm a more spiritual person. My experience of fasting usually makes me feel like a person uber fixated on the thing that I've chosen to give up. That's my days are constantly thinking about when I can again indulge in this thing that I've chosen to be without. But the promise in Scripture and the promise of people who have engaged fasting is that often as a result of fasting, we experience an increased awareness of just how satisfying the presence of God is for those deeper needs that we all carry. And that's what we're after. So fasting. But fasting is not the only spiritual practice that the people of God engage in Lent. Throughout the centuries, people have paired fasting with a practice of giving during Lent. And the core motivation actually is pretty similar. During Lent, we choose not to look away from our own experience of need, and we also choose not to look away from the needs of the people around us, but instead to pay attention and to move with God toward the needs that all people, all creation, carry, whether they know it or not. Interestingly, in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, God tied fasting with a practice of caring for those most needy in society. God actually became concerned about the self-focus of God's people, the ways in which they were taking up a personal fast, but they were doing it without awareness, without apparent concern for the needs of other people around them. And so God spoke strongly to the people of God through the prophet Isaiah, and he kind of redefined even what a fast that honors God looks like. This is what the prophet Isaiah said in the voice of God. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? when you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. True fasting, the kind of fasting that honors God, that reflects the nature of God, is not only personal work, but it's a work that cares and extends ourselves to the needs of others. And can we just say that this is a time, probably not unlike other times, but we feel it in maybe a deeper way, of a lot of needs around us. And we may feel deeply about that as we walk through our days, as we read the news. Lent invites us to act, and to act in whatever way we can to express the love of God, the care of God, for the needs in our corner of the world. So during this Lent, we at the River are going to organize some group activities that we can do to serve together. But I also invite you to the creativity that you have about how you could involve yourself with others in caring for the needs of people around you. This could be as simple as gathering up your household, the people that you live with, and committing to walk in your neighborhood regularly. Walk and pray. Pray blessing for the people that you live around. This could be as accessible as adding more groceries to your cart when you shop each week and taking them to the houseless community that you pass every day on your way to work. This could be opening your eyes to who around you is experiencing need. Maybe it's the person who sits in the cubicle beside you. Maybe it's an old friend that you've heard is struggling with loneliness. And just offer your attention. Ask in a way that communicates you want to hear, how are you today? The people of God in the season of Lent open ourselves to the reality that we have a need and the people around us have a need, and we give ourselves toward that through fasting and giving. Now, we talked at the beginning about how Lent is a special season, right? It's set apart by the purple squares on the calendar. And I just want to acknowledge that as we've been talking for a few minutes about fasting and giving, it may not feel special in the way that you tend to think of as special, not special like a vacation. But the season of Lent is special in its promise that as we open ourselves to our needs and the needs of those around us, we become more open to experiencing the reality of the God who comes to rescue us, to meet us in our need. There is a spiritual reality that we cannot know the satisfaction of God's love and care unless we know something of our need for it. So we prepare for the way in which God comes to us again in victory on Easter by remembering just how much we need that rescue. That is the purpose of Lent. So as we begin our Lenten journey this Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday, I want to simply invite you to give yourself to it. To give yourself to it in the way that feels like a reasonable stretch for you this year. And if you can't today think about what you could do for 6 weeks, you can start just by considering your intention for the first few days of Lent. On future Sundays, we'll talk about prayer strategies, how it is that we can support our fasting and our giving through prayer. But for today, I want to draw your attention to the card that hopefully you were given as you came in this morning. This card is just meant to be a tangible reminder of where we're headed as a community during the season of Lent. And at the bottom of one side are the prompt questions. What will you fast from this week? How will you give of your time in acts of kindness or service in your community? and one about a breath prayer that you might write to undergird your practice. I want to invite you to work with that card during our worship time this morning. See if there isn't an idea in your mind, a sense in your heart for how you want to begin your Lenten practice. Make your intention concrete. In addition to working with this card, I want to let you know about some other supports that we've created for you for Lent, as well as opportunities to respond to the things that you've heard this morning. As always, in our godly playrooms, we have just general art supplies in the back. There may be kind of some picture or image that's come to your mind this morning, and you want to use art to express it. Maybe it's an expression of your intention in a picture. Maybe it's a prayer that comes out in a picture. And I want to be sure to say clearly that those are not just for the kids and students in our community. Those are available for adults as well. Also, on this side of the room, we have a take-home version of our Mystery of Easter story. You could take the supplies for that and retell the story, remembering the weeks that it takes to prepare for the mystery of Easter. And then also on this side of the room, there are supplies to create a Lent box for your household. Again, not just for the kids in our midst, but for any household. A box that we could populate with ideas of possible fasts, ways to give ourselves towards others, to encourage our practice throughout the long season of Lent. So as we get ready to worship and to make use of these resources, let me pray for us. God, thank you that you have built into the rhythm of life seasons, and that each season has its important purpose for the land and for the land of our hearts. So we ask that you would guide us now as we enter the purple season of Lent. Lord, help us to find what it is that you're inviting us to, and to give ourselves to it in the hope, Lord, that you would use it to help us experience you more deeply in this season, and especially in the celebration of Easter this year. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.